This is the partner tape for Unconditional Love Fellowship partners. And this one is the year-end wrap-up. That is, whatever we would be having at this point, whether it be the November message or the December, this one embraces all of that. And that means we will begin fresh in January with the January tape or message. This one, we're just wrapping up the year with this. And let me begin by, may the Lord bless you abundantly over this holiday period. And let me say, and I say it maybe with deeper heartfelt than any other years, thank you. Thank you for standing with us in your giving and in your praying over these last months. This year, we have faced challenges, opportunities of faith, as such as I have never faced in all my 65 years of ministry. Now, that's quite a statement. But we have prayed our way through every hour of this last year, especially through the fall and these last couple of months. And I thank you for listening to the Holy Spirit. Thank you that we are still here proclaiming this message that both the demonic world and the religious world seems to hate so much. God is love. And of course, this time next week, the retreat will be over, and we will have another glorious hours to celebrate and let you have that love indeed is the power of God. So thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you have been to us and with us as family in the Holy Spirit in these last years. Okay, I want to share with you what has been to me a very important truth over the years. And some of this you will have heard me speak of before, but essentially I'm just looking at the text I'm going to give you and what that means to us all today. But it's a very practical text and a very practical message, and I want you to take it. Let me tell you again, this has been one of those guiding truths all through my life, and I share it now with you, and it's from Matthew and chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, and verse 12. When you go into a household, which is another way of saying family, so you're speaking about family, husbands, wives, children, cousins, uncles, aunts, family. And it says, when you go into a family, greet it. Hear that. Greet it. If the household, if the family is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And then over in verse 20, still within the same subject of what you say in such situations, it says, for it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now, you could read that very quickly and pass right over it. If you read it slowly, there are things in that text that arrest you. At least it arrested me. And it makes me take a second look and then a third look and a fourth look. So let me take you through it. When you come to a family, the context is Jesus is sending out the disciples, and it is the first time that is Jesus is still exercising his ministry before the cross, before the resurrection. And he is now sending out the 12 disciples, and they are going to proclaim wherever he sends them, in the villages and towns. They're going to say the kingdom of God is at hand, the same as Jesus. And in his authority, they are going to lay hands on the sick, and they're going to see healing, and they're going to cast out demons. What they're doing, they're getting their feet wet in being representatives of Jesus. And it's going to move to its grand finale, of course, after the cross, when they'll have the totality of the message. And in the power of the Spirit, they will do this. But this is the beginning of it. And he said, when you go into a town, you're going to be proclaiming the kingdom of God in this place. Now, find a place to stay. Stay with a family in town. And he said, when you find that family, you go to the house and you greet the family. Okay, I said remember that. I mean, today, greet the family, I suppose it would mean you say hello and whatever. But in the Bible, that is, it covers the Old and the New Testament, greeting was very specific. It was rooted in the covenant that these people lived by. And so when they greeted, it was in one of two ways, and really it all comes down to the same thing. One greeting, which we find through the Old Testament, is you would say, "The Lord be with you," which was an announcement to the person that they were indeed in covenant union with the Lord. And when someone said that to you as a greeting, your greeting in response was, "And the Lord bless you." And so a greeting also included giving a blessing. But then a shortened version of that was you greeted a person with the word shalom. And shalom we roughly translate as peace. I'm going to show you in a moment that's sort of a very, it's not a good translation, because the word is much, much more than we mean by peace today. But that was it. You greeted a person, "The Lord be with you." Well, if the Lord was with you, you had shalom in your house. And if you blessed a person, the content of your blessing essentially was shalom. These words all overlap. The word blessing, the word salvation, and the word shalom, peace, they overlap so much you can't really talk of one without talking of the other. And so when he's saying here you greet the house, you would say, and especially by what he says next, it's pretty obvious, they greeted the house with the word shalom, peace, the peace of God himself be to this family. The word blessing, which is what they're doing there, it means that you are speaking words that empower the person you speak to. You empower them to be successful and prosperous and filled with health and well-being. And what we have to think of, because we will not do it naturally, that meant holistically. That is, the Bible never sees you as a carved up individual. You know what I mean? In our American, European world, we think of carved up people. Your body, and your body is studied by doctors when you're sick, as if there's nothing more to you, just your body. And then if you determined to have something amiss with your emotions or your brain, we send you off to another chap who's a psychologist, and he just deals with your brain and emotions as if they exist in a glass jar with no reference to your body. And then if you want spiritual problem, you go to the pastor, who deals with you often as if that's all you are. And we say silly things like so many souls were saved, as if little ghosts came and accepted Jesus. No, in the scripture, that is totally unknown. alone. Every word of Scripture is spoken to the entire person. Holistic. And so spirit, mind, emotion, body, as one person, not all divided up. You are blessed. That is, you are empowered. And when a person thus greeted, or in their greeting blessed the person, how can I put this? They saw their words as the nearest I can get to it. Is they saw their words as we would draw a cartoon character, you know, in the funny pages, and the words coming out of the mouth of the individual that's drawn there comes out in a sort of balloon. And inside the balloon, there are the words that the character is saying, so that the words exist in this cloud, in this boundary. Well, that's exactly how the Hebrew people saw speaking. But especially did they see their blessing. When they blessed someone, they saw their words coming out of their mouth as an entity, as a body. And then that body of words empowered to do what you say they do, and sent to the person you send them, those words go to do. They go thus to bless, to empower the people, and to bring them into peace. This is very important, because it's totally other than how we think. I think sometimes we look at the words we speak as, well, I don't know, almost like drooling sounds. They just sort of fall out of our mouth. It's just sounds. We have no concept that with intention we are forming a body of words that we are now intentionally sending, giving as a gift to the persons that we direct them to. That's foreign to our thinking. So now begin to think, this is important, that they are to go to the house and they're to send this body of words in a greeting to the family. They're giving them a gift of words that are words empowering the peace of God to fill this house. Look, there's a verse in the book of Zechariah. You might never have read it, and you can read it at your leisure. The whole chapter's, shall I say, a little strange, but it's to do with cursing. Now, cursing is, in the Bible, the opposite of blessing. A blessing is a word which empowers you, strengthens you, causes you to arrive successfully at your end goal. Or a curse is that which destroys, tears apart, brings down, brings to futility, destruction, frustration, and so on. But both of them are seen as empowerments. The blessing is all the power, love of God released through your mouth. A curse comes from the darkness. But in Zechariah 5 and 5, it speaks of the curse. And it's almost an aside, you know, it's really talking about something broader than that, but he tells us about this curse and how a curse works. Let me read it to you. He said, the curse will go forth and it will enter the house and it will spend the night in the house, within that house, and it will consume the house with all its timbers and stones. Now, I don't know how that affected you. See, he said it's not just words. It's not just you say something and it falls on the ground and bounces around and people hear it. No, it will go forth. It will go forth. And the whole import of go forth is this idea of scent. It's sent on a mission. One translation has it will fly into the house, almost like you'd think of a drone, and it will enter the house. And really, a better translation there would be enter the house and abide in the midst of the house. Abide or spend the night or settle in or make itself at home. Do you remember on the other side, in the world of reality and light, it says Jesus would abide in us and we abide in him. Well, that's the word used here, only of a curse coming into the house of the person that is dedicated to sin and settles in, we'll just spend the night. Well, what a thought. There's a curse. There's an energy of darkness. There's an energy that will tear down and destroy, and it's going to spend the night. And it says it will consume, tear down, shred the place, right down to the timbers and bricks and mortar and stone that make up the building. Now, okay, there's a better curse. I'm not talking about curses. But a blessing, well, that's that only with all the love and mercy and grace and blessing of God being sent. And in the same way that is sent as a form, a body of words that enter into the house and therefore the family. And it settles in and makes itself at home, spends the night. But it then begins its work of upbuilding, and it begins its work of blessing and empowering for good and prosperity. Builds up. And remember, where sin abounded, says Romans 5, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Therefore, where the curse might do its work, much more, infinitely more, the blessing does its work. Does that make any sense to you? I could stop right now and you could think about this for the next 6 months and recognize when you speak, you are sending your very spirit out with certain intent, united to the power, presence, love of God in such a fashion that after you've gone, your words stay there to do the work you sent them to do. Wow. Now, Jesus said the content of your greeting, your blessing, is peace. And he says your peace, let your peace come upon it. You've sent your greeting. Let your peace, your shalom, come upon the house. So that's the content of what you've sent. It's this shalom. And it will come upon the house and the family within it. So yes, it will get into the bones of the people, their bodies, it will get into their minds and into their spirit, but also it will get into the very bricks, mortar, furniture of the house. Yes, and I mean that. You might think I'm going a bit far here, but that's not only what Zechariah 5 says, it's experience. Have you ever gone looking at houses, you know, to buy them or something, and you go to look at a house and if any of your antenna, your spirit antennas are up, you pick it up. There's a darkness in the house. Have you felt that? You feel there's something bad has happened here. And there's nobody here. You're looking at an empty house or a house that's got furniture in it, but no people yet. But it's there. Did they go through a divorce? Did somebody die here with great sorrow? Was there terrible arguments? There's an energy, there's an atmosphere there that is not good. You go into another house and you can feel, sometimes it hits you like joy. And it was a very happy house and there was joy here. Oh yeah. I Do you realize what we're dealing with? Reality here. This is not just religious words. You send a greeting, a blessing into a house, into a family, and it can get into the furniture. Yeah. Wow. And shalom. What is shalom? I said a moment ago that our English word peace just doesn't cut it. Okay, let me quickly do it. We've done this before, but let me do it again. The word shalom, essentially, it means complete. Or another word would be whole. If you're in court, the judge in court is seeking to make you whole. That's a legal expression. They will use it. They're seeking to make you, somebody stole from you, somebody took something from you, and they want to recompense you in a fashion that you are now made whole. You're restored. You're complete again. Now that's shalom, that you'll be restored, complete. And that would apply as well as to anything else, but it would apply to relationships. That you now have restored relationships. You have covenantal relationships. A wholeness with people. All fences repaired. You say, open heart and doors to people. And it means thus in your completion that you are fulfilled in all that you put your hand to. Hence it means success. It means you'll not spend your life spinning your wheels. It means that you won't go off distracted by every tomfool idea. It means that you will have the wisdom of God, you'll have the ability of God, and you will achieve God's end in your life. And remember, I said holistic. This isn't just speaking of invisible spirit things. The word peace means to be physically, mentally, emotionally healthy. That's the meaning of the word. When Jesus brought healing to the woman who touched the hem of his garment, do you remember what he said to her? He said, after he'd healed her, now, he said, I quote him, go into peace, go into shalom. That is, enter into the world of the healthy. She was healed. And it also means that in that, in your completion, your fulfillment in your spirit, your core being, in your mind, emotions, and body, you'll be guarded, you'll be kept. That's inside this word, shalom. And it will therefore bring to you a life of rest, a life of quiet and calm. So that means a life of freedom from all fear and anxiety. Peace, yeah. It is what our English word means, except it means a whole lot more. Shalom. Shalom is the gift of God. The gift of God. You can never make this up. You can never do it by concentrating thought. It's the gift. You are in this kind of relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through Christ. We have that relationship. We have a whole relationship with him, and that then moves out into all of our life and all of our relationships. It's not an empty word. It's very, very real. It's the essence of new birth. And it all comes from the Father through Jesus. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace, Shalom. He's the Prince of Shalom. He's its origin. He's its author. He's its giver. He's its guarantee. And the Holy Spirit is the one who causes that shalom to be actualized in our life. So you go into a house, he said, go into a family, and you greet it with shalom, peace, be to this house. And he said that those words will go like a bird, the bird of peace. I say that because these words, it almost suggests it, that this, your words, this body of words that you speak will fly through the house, and it will go into this room and that room and the other room. It will descend into the kitchen and into the dining room, and it will wrap itself around the people there. So, when you say this, you would do so with expectancy, wouldn't you? I mean, just talking about it here raises my own expectancy, that when I speak, something's happening. There is a personal energy. It's the essence of me going out in word form, sent on a mission to bless these people with intention. It's an expectancy, but also with intention. You just don't, you know, there are some people who just talk, and I swear they've never heard a word they say, because I don't think they'd say it if they listened to themselves. It's just words on top of words. They tumble out meaningless words, silly words, words that no one's interested in, and just, I say, drooling words out of your mouth, and that they just drop to the ground. Now, this is it. You're in charge. You're driving your words. You know, it isn't the person. You know, the person who says, well, I just speak my mind. Who? That sounds dangerous. It means then that your mind is at the driver's wheel. Your mind has its foot on the gas pedal. Dangerous stuff. There's a lot of things that go through the mind that should never be sent out with intention. No, you don't speak your mind. You speak with love. You speak truth. Not just every thought that pops into your head. You speak out of your spirit. You send it forth from yourself. Which brings up an even more amazing thing, for in your spirit, in your true self, you are joined to Jesus. Christ is in you. The Holy Spirit makes your body his temple, and therefore, when you speak, your words are joined into his words, and your words then spoken, in fact, in his name, go forth. You are actually speaking him, speaking Jesus into this family. And words that might be used of God's words can now be used of you. Yes. Am I shocking you? I think not. You know, when he says the word that goes forth out of my mouth. Do you remember that in Isaiah? God said, the word that goes forth out of my mouth. See, he talks the same way as I've been trying to explain. It's a body of words that come out of his mouth and have then, they're a living entity. And he says, they shall not return to me void. So his word goes off into the house to do what those words say they're going to do. And he says, then having done their work, they're going to come back to me. And he says, they won't come back empty. That is, they won't come back having done nothing. They shall accomplish that whereunto I sent it. On a mission. Well, now, he tells me to use his word. Peace. Shalom. That's a God word. Now, he says, you take it. Yes, Malcolm, you take it. And put it in your heart. Experience it for yourself through Jesus. Delight in it, wallow in it, celebrate in it. It's your peace. You, as Jesus said, my peace I give to you. It's yours now. Give it away. Send it in your words into families. And I in you, and you in me, and I in your words, and your words in my words shall not return void. Do you see this? Now, again, hold with me here. If I speak, like I'm suggesting, with expectancy and intention and the realization that my words are filled with the Holy Spirit. And incidentally, doing that very naturally. See, in our society, you wouldn't go into a house and raise your hand and say, "Peace be to this house." I think you're nuts. But you can do that in 100 different ways. It's the way you talk. It's what you talk about. It's the content of your desire for this house. And at every given opportunity, then you would indeed speak more plainly. But you go to a house and you're leaving a gift there. The words that you've spoken. Let it be peace to this house. Now, if you thus speak, first of all, you have to see it. Maybe I've never thought of this. But in fact, every time you speak with any kind of authority, it's because in micro moments you have seen it in the area of your imagination, or the high imagination of seeing with the eyes of your understanding. You see, I came to this office just now to talk to you. And when I said over on the other side of the ranch, I said to Nancy, "I am going to speak to the partners." Now, in saying that, if I could slow my process down to almost zero and see what was going on, in my imagination, I saw the path to this office, and I saw what I would be taking with me, and therefore, when I actually walked the path, it is because I had seen it first. You just think about that. You say you're going to such and such a place. But as you get into your car with such authority out of the driveway without even thinking, you turn right or whatever, and you drive there. Why? Because you have seen it, and you are following in your mind what you know is there. If you don't know where you're going, you'll be going a foot at a time, stop, start, look out the window, wonder. No, when we say something with this intentional authority, with expectancy, it's because we see it first. Then we speak it. When you have seen this, you've seen the peace, the shalom of God, the love of God in this specific fashion, poured out into you, and also to the world that confronts you every day. See the love of God for the person you are visiting with, the person who stands in your office, the person you work with in the factory. You see it. God's love toward that person and his desire for them to know shalom. You see it with inside eyes that can see through maybe their behavior and their words and the kind of person they present themselves to be. You see beyond that, and you see them as a dearly beloved person for whom Jesus died and rose again. You see it. That's not hearsay. That is, it's not something you heard me say and say, "Shucks, I guess that's true." No, you know that. You know the love of God. You've come to know that love. It's not a rumor that you've heard buzzed around among believers. You know it. You've seen it with the eyes of your heart. You've seen what is true in heaven. And you are the way by which heaven's will is done on earth, by your words saying what you see in heaven. And you see God loves this family. God loves this house. Therefore, my every word in this place will seek to present that or leave it behind me. with the words that I speak, they're words of faith. They're words of my trust in what the Father has said. His mission is through Jesus. Faith in the Holy Spirit to take my simplest words and use them. Now again, you see, we're not used to that. We're not used to saying the reality, the absolute rock bottom reality is the love that God has for us and the shalom that he desires for us. And that I, as a human being in Christ, can actually release that into a situation. No, we don't see that. Flesh, which is seeing my entire existence in terms of my flesh, bones, mortality, what you see is what you get sort of thing. The mind of the flesh sees reality in terms of material appearances. That's reality. I mean, isn't it common sense? What you see, what it looks like. Got eyes in your head, man. That's the flesh. That's all it can see. It can see no further than what it is itself. Something you can see and handle. It's reality. The feelings I have that respond to the appearance. So my feelings, they're reality. I feel terrible about this. I feel fear. I feel, and so on. Well, that's reality, says the flesh. Or the flesh sees reality as what my ancestors passed on to me. They said this is the truth, and so I believe it. And what my family said about me and about everything, and what everyone is saying about everything today. You know the expression, what they say, that massive seething movement of people that change their mind every 10 minutes and even change our language every 5 minutes. And what's in, what's out, what I'm supposed to be, what is in good and what now suddenly is bad. And that seething mass of the system. What they say. That's reality. No, it isn't. No, it is not. Reality. Jesus said, I am the truth, or I am the reality. I can only see reality in the light of Jesus. I can only see reality in the Holy Spirit showing me what is true in the invisible half of the universe, heaven, that I might speak it and see it. And therefore, I rejoice in my peace. Yes, my shalom, even when appearances would seem to contradict it. I rejoice in shalom, even when people would say other things about what's going on. We are those seated in the heavenly places. We live by this truth. And you see it. You see the truth. You see, I know what I feel. I know what my eyes see. I know what logic dictates. I know what common sense would say. But I have seen reality in the face of Jesus Christ. And I know that I am in God and God is in me through his Spirit. And I know that right now he is working the whole symphony of life together. This is first of all, it's our gift. We've seen it for ourselves before we can see it for others. We've seen that we have, through Jesus, this is the essence of being born again. This is the essence of the gospel. This is, you know, what did the angels sing when Jesus entered the world? Peace on earth, shalom on earth. This is it. And we've heard it. Jesus said to you and to me, my peace, my shalom, I give to you. The Holy Spirit dwelling in you, the harvest of his presence is, fruit of the Spirit is peace, shalom. So, you see it. You say, I'm not sure if I do. Well, then, again, what I have taught you these many months, Ephesians in chapter 1, verse 17, the prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesians, and there's other prayers too, scattered through the New Testament, but especially that one, the prayer that I have prayed for myself and for probably millions of others by this time, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The Greek language there is very picturesque. It's that you be flooded with light, as if every neon light in your innermost being, your core self, every light was turned on and you see things clearly. Pray that every day. Pray it 10 times a day. Open my eyes. Renew my mind to see myself and see others as you see them in and through Jesus. Now what you see, this intention of God the Father to bless you through Jesus, to empower you to a holistic life of success, of love, of joy, of shalom, in and through the Holy Spirit. We release them through our words. Release it to others. We actually release it to ourselves too. We declare of ourselves, over ourselves, to ourselves. We use words to announce into the atmosphere of our own lives who we truly are and what is the truth. But this text is talking about giving it away to others. And we do so with words. And in today's world, I have to say that words, although primarily it is what I'm doing right now, that is, words that are, I mean, you hear them, words, spoken words, but in today's world, I have to include Twitter, I have to include Facebook, I have to include email, I have to include all those ways in which we communicate today. Yeah, you see, how often do we just let words, whether we say them or release them into the ether, or what do they call, the cloud or something? Do we think, do we realize my core being in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit is now going out to achieve an end? We release this shalom, our shalom, ours in Christ, and we're now sharing it with others. In James 3, It's one of those passages that deserve a whole seminar, really, but it says, speaking of the tongue, it says, I read the whole chapter, and it says in verse 3, it's like putting a bit in the horse's mouth. It's from the mouth. You guide and turn the horse. It's like the rudder on a ship, he says. And you can turn a great ship around by the rudder. And it says in verse 5, even the tongue is a little member, but it boasts great things. It can set a whole forest on fire by a very little match, you see. And yes, you can set a whole family into the flames of the Holy Spirit's love just by a word spoken. It can also do the reverse. So he goes on and so he goes on. We've got no time, but enough to say that we chart our own course by the words we say. Do you understand that? You speak words, and those words, but see, they're not just sounds on the air. Those words are going out to accomplish whereunto they were sent. And they, I listen to some people talk and they curse themselves. They talk of themselves, downplay themselves, talk of their lives as such a terrible thing and all. And today's going to be bad. It's going to be a terrible week and I'm going to get sick. And I am sending out these words which block the blessing. Those words, they come and spend the night and they begin to tear down until it gets into my very timbers and stones and bricks and mortar and furniture. What did the centurion say to Jesus? Speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. That servant was 10, 20 miles away. He said, send your word. Just say, stand here and say the word. And the servant will be healed. Because words are alive. Words are you in breath form, sound form. And they're going to do the work whereunto you send them. What did Peter say when he was about to heal that man that gave beautiful? He said, such as I have, I give to you. That's it. You have the peace of God. You've got this peace in Jesus. That's who you are. Well then, such as you have, give it. And you release it by your words. Has that come to you as I've read this? He said, your peace. I know the religious folk get very upset at that because it shouldn't be. Jesus made a mistake in their terms. I mean, your peace will go in. No, it's God's peace. But Jesus said, your peace. Did you hear him? And he said, if they don't want it, if they count themselves unworthy, they don't want this peace. They don't want all that goes with it. They don't want relationship with God. So he says, your peace will return to you. Surely, we should say, the peace of God. Your peace, your peace. You see, have we really seen this union that we have, this incredible union that you really are in Christ. Christ is really in you through the Holy Spirit. He lives in you, moves in you, talks in you, but you talk in him and you move in him. It's a matter of religious pride, stinking pride. When we get all religious and humble, and of course we're not humble at all, we're really religiously proud, when we, I'm not worthy, I'm no good, it wasn't me, it's all the way. Come on. He's in you. He's through you. And for you to live is Christ, says Philippians. Therefore it's your peace. Come on. Wake up. Take responsibility for who you are as a son, daughter of God. You are giving what has been placed in you by the Holy Spirit. That which originates in Jesus, a gift of the Father. You are giving. This is your debt of love, says Romans 14. It's your debt of love. It's what the epistles do, the beginning of the epistles. Or do we jump over those verses and say it's just a greeting? Yeah, just a greeting. That's what Jesus is talking about here. But it says in the epistles, what? Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. They meant it. They're not just saying hello. That through their mouth, recorded on the papyrus that they wrote on, they are saying, grace, the favor of God, now be into your life. The shalom of God, now be into you. Yes, it's your peace. You give it. And I say it, I think I might have said it, but this is not talking about public ministry. Incidentally, for those of you that are speakers, preachers, you should take note of this. This is something that is at the foundation of all my teaching and speaking, that when I speak, I am aware of sending out a body of truth that is alive with the presence of the Holy Spirit that is actually going to change lives. I expect that. I live by this verse. But this isn't talking about public ministry, though it applies. But this is to our family. This is what you did at Thanksgiving. You went into a family. You're going to do it all the time. It's talking about meeting the chap in the office, you see, and he represents a family. And just casual contact. You're going to speak. But you're not going to speak very, what can I say? Well, I have to come back to that word religious, because, you know, there's a horrible whine to the religious person. They can't talk normally, and they use Bible words that no one understands. No, this is just being, in fact, understand what I'm saying, see it, and then forget it and just be normal. And recognize this is what's happening, but I don't have to think about it. See, what do you bring to a house? When you walk into a house and just begin to visit, whether it's the family or your cousins or grandkids or whatever, what do you bring? What did you bring to the house at Thanksgiving? What are you going to bring at Christmas? Do your words, do your, what can I say, your interpretation of events, the way you look at life, does it bring fear? Did you leave people anxious? Did you leave people at a greater degree of distress? Did you introduce slander, you see? For slander is division. It's the very opposite. The slander gossip is the opposite of shalom. Did you bring any kind of division? Did you leave behind suspicion about other people? Division, destruction, you see. Is that what you left to spend the night in the house? So that as the people spoke and as they dreamed, as they mulled over what had been said, they find greater anxiety. They find now they're suspicious of that person because of what you said. Did you leave behind the taste of malice and bitterness and anger on the air? Did you? I don't know. I'm not accusing you. I'm illustrating what this is talking about. Did you go there and leave behind shalom in the full spectrum of all that it is? When you left shalom to spend the night in the house and build it up and make people filled with joy and hope, faith. When I was in Nigeria, I saw an illustration of this that probably could only happen in Africa, but it shows that Jesus really meant this. It was in Nigeria. It was in the number three in the world of Islam. People would go to pilgrimages there, Islamic pilgrimages, and the Christians were persecuted very badly. And they were successful, this little church, and enough to cause the authorities to become nervous. And so the authorities evicted them from wherever they were. By government edict, and they put them deep into the ghetto. They said, you can't meet here anymore, you've got to meet, and they put them in this ghetto. And it was the worst, it might have been the worst place in Nigeria. I mean, there were murders there every day. It was the center of prostitution. It was the center of drug dealing and addiction. It was everything that destroys a people took place openly there. It was a place where the police wouldn't go because it just wasn't worth it. And they gave them a sizable piece of property. But it was right in the middle of this. And this church took this very literally. They said they have been put into this ghetto area. It was the family they now... And they greeted the area by raising their hands and blessing and calling the peace of God to that place. Because they had come there and they were where the peace of God lived in terms of that area. And they laid their hands upon the asphalt of the place that had been given to them by the government. Then they blessed it and they said from this place the blessing would go. Yes, go in the sense I've said, like a mission into all the houses and areas. This is a fact. This is recorded in the history of the city. That from that day, I mean, the tick-tock of that day, murders ceased in that area. The sex trade moved off to another area, as did the drug dealers, and great shalom came to the area and openness to the gospel, and the church multiplied and multiplied. The sound of their worship could be heard from end to end of the ghetto. And the government became nervous and evicted them and says, you've got to get out. And they gave them another piece of property in a rundown area the other side of the city. And based on this passage, these people, the church, they actually lifted up the asphalt upon which their church now was built, and in squares, and every member of the church had a square of the asphalt. They said, this is blessed territory, and they are kicking us out. They are refusing the blessing of shalom that we bring. And so we take our blessing with us according to that scripture. And it was some, I don't know, 5,000 people would not be an exaggeration. They marched across the city, a great parade, all of them carrying the asphalt that had been blessed by their presence. And they recalled their blessing and said, it goes with us. For you, the government, have determined that we're unwanted here and you don't want our blessing. And so they went with their blessing and their asphalt to the other side of the city. Do you know that night the first murder took place since they had first come there and all the prostitution moved back in and the drug dealers, and within a week that place was a hell hole of destruction. I preached in that church. This is a first-hand story. This is real. What do you bring into a home? Do you bring the hope of healing? Do you bring the sense of peace? And I say not because you sit there and give out the four spiritual laws, but because in your conversation about life, in your hope, in your expectancy, it's not self-pity, not victim, not complaint, not... It just creeps into your conversation. The way you talk about life is shalom. And you introduce the hope of the gospel in every way you can, but not forced. Because you're not there to go back to your group and report you got them saved. No, you're there to bless them, and you're there to be the love of God to them. Open my eyes, spirit of wisdom and revelation. Flood me with light, that I might see the reality of who I am in Christ. That I might be granted the wisdom to know when to speak and how to speak, and how to impart the blessing of your love, your peace. Give me eyes wide open to see people as you see them, and to bless them as you will to bless them. Make that your prayer. can change your life. You become the person who goes through life just giving gifts. And of course, you will find this, and I've got to shut up now, but you will find this, that, and that's why I said forget about it, because if you try to say it, you know, try to use the proper word, it doesn't work. You are so horribly in the way. Just be natural. Get this message into your core being, and then just be yourself. Because my experience over 65 years is, the times that a word would change a life, a word that will be reported to me 10 years later, and they said, when you said, it was so, and I say, what did I say? And they say what I said. I said, there's nothing. I mean, I would never, if I was going to set out to change a life, I would have said something more important than that. But it was just a passing word. Sometimes it's a look. Sometimes it's a smile. Sometimes it's putting your hand of love upon a shoulder and letting the love of God flow through you without making a big announcement that you're praying for anybody. I trust this word will bring life to the rest of your life. And again, I thank you for all your words that you have sent to us. And I thank you for all of the finances which have been shalom in very material form that has enabled us to still be sitting here today and sharing this with you. Thank you. And I look forward to a year ahead of us in which we increase and abound in love and in shalom and in those through whom that shalom flows to the world. Now the blessing of God Almighty love, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, His blessing of shalom be now with you, invading your life, your family, into the very timbers of your home, that to enter your home shall be to enter shalom. And out of you, in this incoming year, there shall flow rivers of living water. So I now bless you. And so it is. Amen.